lift up your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would be cleansing minds and cleansing hearts, cleansing ears and eyes. I pray, Lord, that you would be cleansing lives even as the word has been read, as we consider, Jesus, all that you have done. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church this morning. Draw us close, and Lord, reach out and touch those who need to feel your presence and your touch this morning. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Please be seated. In the book of Leviticus, there are two full chapters addressing the physical manifestation of leprosy, how they are to be treated and addressed. There are recorded cases dating back more than 4,000 years ago, and we know that in Scripture, Miriam was struck with leprosy when she conspired with Aaron against Moses, and that a man by the name of Naaman, a Gentile, I believe a commander of the Syrian army, was healed of leprosy in 2 Kings. Today, leprosy really isn't called leprosy anymore. It's called Hansen's disease, and it's a curable disease. There were leper colonies that were widely distributed throughout the world. There used to be one in Hawaii, I know. In the United States, they're all closed down. There are still a few that exist in India and other countries, but for the most part, they've widely been done away with. In 1995, there were an estimated 2 to 3 million uncurable cases of Hansen's disease, yet in the past 20 years, there have been 15 million cured of this disease worldwide. And so it's a malady that has been addressed. The physical implications are scales on the skin and a retraction of physical extremities, such as the nose, fingers, toes. There is a misunderstanding concerning leprosy that toes and fingers fall off because of this disease, but it's actually a disease that consumes the cartilage of the body, and as it consumes the cartilage, it actually detracts those physical extremities to make it seem as if they are falling off or have fallen off. It also attacks surface nerves that send pain warning signals throughout the body, and it is a disease which still today carries a negative societal stigma. When I was in Brazil playing basketball, I came face to face with this disease. Many who are here this morning probably have never seen it physically up close. But I remember as I was walking from the square, heading back to the apartment, there was a tussle going on, and there were some young men of the city that I was playing in who were harassing an older gentleman, well, older than I was at the time. He's probably 30-ish in his 30s. And as I got closer, I recognized that there was something wrong with this man. His face and his hands and everything were all scaly, and they were giving him a hard time. Joe, the elder statesman of he was another American that was playing with me in Brazil, had been in South America for a while, and I asked what was wrong with him, and he said the gentleman had leprosy. And it was these young kids, these young hooligans in Brazil that were harassing him. And he was actually making the situation worse and actually challenged Joe and I in some physical, in a physical way. And I couldn't believe it. Obviously, not knowing or understanding a lot about leprosy other than that which I had heard prior to it, I didn't want to get too close to him. It can be transferred through mucus, nasal mucus especially. And so we didn't want to get involved with it. But it is an all-consuming disease. It's amazing what it does to the physical characteristics of a human being. And if you've ever seen it before, it is a sad, sad thing. Our text this morning is about such a man. It says that it happened when he was in a certain city, Jesus, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. He was full of leprosy. He was in the advanced stages. And it's Dr. Luke who tells us that he was full. Certainly he was one that would desire to that we understand and give record of the physical disposition of this man. Interestingly, this event is also recorded by Matthew and by Mark. From Matthew, we understand that Jesus meets this leper following his great Sermon on the Mount. Matthew says when he came down from the mountain that multitudes were following Jesus. They were astonished at the things that they had heard him teaching. And this leper came and would fall at Jesus' feet to worship him. Matthew says that he came and worshiped Jesus. Mark says he knelt down. And Luke tells us he fell on his face before Jesus Christ. This man was on a mission to be healed of his condition. He did not want to remain in his unclean state, completely separated from society, from any physical touch, from any contact really with people that were healthy. And he does a bold and brave thing. He approaches Jesus, no doubt expecting to be avoided, as he certainly was, by the religious elite and the religious leaders in the society and most of the society as a whole. It's something that he would have been used to had Jesus desired to just walk right past him. You see, lepers were to pronounce themselves unclean as they walked through the city streets so that people could give them a wide berth and know that they were present. And religious leaders of that time despised leprous people. And they thought them to be people who had received particular judgment from God. And there were certain rabbis, actually, who have been recorded, one saying he would not even buy an egg from a street where there was a leprous person present. Another one actually bragged that he threw rocks at lepers when he saw them. How sad. Imagine this leper approached Jesus. I imagine this leper approached Jesus with great hope. That what he had heard was true. Jesus did not shun the outcast. He did not play favorites. Jesus hung out with the indigent and the hopeless. Jesus was different. And this man heard that Jesus was coming and he sought to meet him. Even breaking the law to get close to Jesus. I wonder about this leper. Had he been a husband, maybe a father, and one day something was wrong, a scaly anomaly appears on his nose. The next day, it's still there and has become swollen, it's become bright, starts becoming scaly and noticeable. There's something wrong. According to the law, he was to present himself to the priest for examination. Maybe out of love for his wife and children, he goes to the synagogue in the hopes that nothing serious, that he and his family would be safe, that he'd be secure at home with them. And upon examination by the priest, he is found to have leprosy. Worse than a death sentence, he would be pronounced unclean and not allowed to go back to his home. There would have been no going home to comfort his wife and his children. If he was to see them again, it may be that he would see them from a distance as they brought meals for him. maybe on a daily occasion, as he was in that designated area that he was forced to inhabit. Each day wondering, is there any hope to be cured? Will I ever return to my home? To be with my family again, to embrace my wife, to hold my children and tell them I love them. And although we are not told of his background, his age, his prior status, he is any man. He really is every man. You see, he's destitute. And he's desperate to be free of his condition. And he hears that there is one who shows great signs and powers from heaven. Some even think he's hearing that he might be the Messiah, the one who was spoken of by the prophets. People are being healed. Demons bow down to this man. And he finds out he's coming towards our city. There's a glimmer of hope, the possibility of restoration. Maybe, he thinks, I can be healed. And hope is sparked and grows as Jesus approaches the city. And this man makes his plans to seek Jesus. Mark tells us this man came to Jesus. It was not a by happenstance glance that he saw Jesus. He was seeking Jesus intently, and when he sees Jesus, he falls on his face, begging him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Matthew tells us he was worshiping Jesus. As again, Mark says he was on his knees. And Jesus, in his great sermon that he had just given as he was up on the mountain, the Sermon on the Mount, had just said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, for anyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Amazing. It is quite probable that this man had not even heard those words, yet practically as Jesus enters this certain city, this leper seeks Jesus and asks, no, he begs for Jesus to cleanse him. And in so doing, he knocks on the very doors of heaven itself, and notice he does not question Jesus' ability to heal. His only question is, are you willing? Are you willing to cleanse me, Lord? In verse 13, Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And so this man, for countless years, we don't know how many years, he was unable to touch others or to be touched by any others, and for that matter, would not have been able to even feel or sense the touch of another had they touched him. And Jesus looks upon this man. And Mark says, Jesus is moved with compassion to literally have the bowels yearn. Which is an interesting thought. It was heartfelt. It was deep down. Deep down, Jesus was moved by the desperation and the malady of this man. It was more than a touch that Jesus gave as he reached out his hand. Jesus made a statement. You see, ceremonial law stated that a leper was not to be touched. If anyone did touch a leper, that person was ceremonially unclean. Jesus was moved, and he reached out and he touched this man, and immediately this man is cleansed. He says, I am willing, be cleansed. In the King James Version, it says, I will. And so we see, Jesus is making a statement here. I am willing, I will be cleansed. It is my will. The Hebraic understanding is to delight in. And in today's vernacular, it would be Jesus saying, I'd be delighted to heal you. I am delighted to. Leprosy be gone, and it was gone. Isn't that something? And it says, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Then the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Interestingly, when one is cleansed of leprosy, they would go to the priest, and it would be confirmed by the priest that that person was in fact cleansed. How? Well, they would look at the sores on the skin, and if the sores on the skin had turned white, then the leprosy was pronounced cleansed. There is a human condition that is an infection of the spirit that, like its physical counterpart, leprosy, has affected us all. Scripture says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And sin is like spiritual leprosy. And like leprosy, it begins under the surface and then it spreads and it destroys. It makes one numb and unfeeling towards that which God desires in one's life and for one's life. James 1:15 says, when desire has conceived, it gives a birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And so like leprosy, we see that sin affects the innermost being and it spreads. It's also contagious. It can affect and even infect others. And sadly, lepers back in those days could only be with other lepers. Yet I am sure they all wanted to be delivered from that situation. I'm guessing they weren't sitting around together thinking, how can we remain in this leper colony and in this agony and in this way? Could you imagine that? Conversely, spiritual lepers actually love the company of other lepers. The more leprous one becomes, the more others seem to admire them. Today, we need only look at the champions of this world's causes. Our government leaders are admired for making the morning after pill available over the counter. And you know what's even greater? They made it better. They made it available for our 15-year-olds. Admired. Jason Collins of the NBA is praised as a hero as he announced he is gay, thus advancing the cause of homosexuality in our society. And they're comparing it to the struggles of Jackie Robinson, who, in my opinion, actually overcame a societal leprosy. He overcame racial bigotry and segregation. It had nothing to do with sexual preference, although they will try and make it so. In one of his sermons, Spurgeon said, "A bold sinner is often the idol of his comrades." There's a word I wrote down that I'm having a hard time reading. And I'm sure it's very important. Yes. Well, though foul, there it is his life, others cling to him for that very reason. Such persons like to learn some new bit of wickedness. They are eager to be initiated into a yet darker form of impure pleasure. Yet the leper who came to Jesus and begged him to be cleansed, he wanted out. He wanted to be restored from his condition, and he knew the hope of his cleansing and restoration was going to be found in one and one only, and that was Jesus Christ. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Listen, the physical healing Jesus did was secondary, really, to his mission and his purpose. He told us more than once, even leading up to this, he was anointed to preach the gospel, to set the people free from spiritual leprosy. He said, I have come to seek and save the lost. And remember, we had just heard that his own pronouncement in Luke 4:43, but he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. Physical healing is great. It's wonderful. It is amazing. I will never, ever, ever cease to be amazed when Jesus reaches out and touches someone and heals them of whatever they're seeking him to be healed of. If I ever get to that day and you notice it, would you smack me upside the head? But let me tell you what's extraordinary. Salvation from sin and its destructive results. That is extraordinary. And maybe you're here this morning and you want to be out of the spiritual leper colony. You sense that separation from God, the emptiness that it causes. That something deep down inside of you is prompting your need to be touched by that compassionate one this morning. If you're looking for a way out of your eternal hopelessness and have had enough of the empty gain this world has to offer, look at the example of the leper this morning. Because it's more than just a way out, it's a lifting up. And if you want to get out of that malaise, first, you must seek Jesus. The leper came to Jesus. He had heard about Jesus. Something inside rang true to the situation that the leper found himself in. Jesus, I have heard everyone talking about him. He is the answer to my emptiness, my loneliness, and my hopelessness. And it says he came to Jesus. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me with those heavy things. And we know Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come, whoever desires. Let him take the water of life freely. And Jesus is saying, come. Secondly, you must humble yourself before Jesus. The leper on bent knee put his face to the ground and worshiped him. It's a visible act of worship. You see, he was ashamed of his condition in the presence of Jesus Christ. Yet we see a heart bowed before Jesus. James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's an understanding that the spiritual leprosy, that ravaging of sin in our lives, what it has done. In James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. And that's what he was doing to the leper. As the leper humbled himself, Jesus was lifting him up. I will. 1 Peter 5:5-6, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. This man was going to be exalted. He was going to go around and people were going to be astonished at what Jesus had done. Thirdly, if you find yourself in a hopeless state this morning, desire to be cleansed. Don't desire to make a deal. I've seen people make deals with Jesus. It doesn't work out that way. The defilement of sin has separated you from communion with God, and Jesus came to repair that right relationship with your Father in heaven. The leper wasn't looking to hold on to some of the freedoms leprosy had given him. You know, kind of the carefree life, didn't have to answer to any responsibilities, right? He wasn't looking to have just the outward signs hitting or some of the nerve senses retarded so he could dabble in unpleasantries, some of the things that he kind of enjoyed about the leprous lifestyle. No, he wanted to be completely cleansed. He wanted to be removed from isolation and restored to relationship. He wanted to be touched by the hand and the heart of compassion, to feel the warmth of the hand of the Savior. And Jesus reached out and touched him because he desired to be cleansed completely. Chapter 9, verses 13 and 15 tell us, "For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance." He's the one. Fourthly, not only must one desire to be cleansed, you must also believe in Jesus' all-sufficiency and ability to cleanse you. Do you believe he can do it? Do you believe he is who he said he is? The leper did not regard himself to have a right to Jesus' favor. He came to receive what he believed Jesus had to offer. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." You need to believe, and then fifthly, you need to receive. Receive the free gift of salvation that Jesus purchased at the cross at Calvary. You see, regarding sin, Jesus is willing to cleanse. And if he has set you free, you are free indeed. When Jesus says, "Be cleansed," you are cleansed completely. That is, I don't know if there's words to describe that. I know I don't have them. Forgiven, declared clean. And that's what he came to do for you, and he came to do for me. Here's the wild thing. The priests, when they believed that one was cleansed from leprosy, I remember down in Brazil, his skin was red. It looked like it could have been scabbed and bleeding. It was quite a sight. But remember that they would look at the wounds, and if it had turned white, then it was declared, they were declared clean. And I love this because Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet," listen, though sin is like leprosy, "they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Because the blood that Christ shed on that cross at Calvary can take the leprosy of sin that has invaded every one of our lives, and he can make it white and declare you clean. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're going to come to the communion table this morning, and I pray, Heavenly Father, that we consider what your Son, Jesus Christ, did for us this morning, wholeheartedly. And for those of us that, Lord, who have come and have sought you and have believed, Lord, in what you did at the cross, that we have been cleansed, declared clean. Lord, if there be any wicked way in us, I pray that you would search our hearts and that we would come with hearts of repentance, that we would lay it at your feet before, Lord, we consider taking this cracker and this cup. But if there's anybody else here, Lord, who has not bowed their heart to you, Lord, if they're yearning to feel that touch, if they desire to have that void filled in their lives right now that they know can only be filled by you, Lord, they've tried everything else and it's left them empty, it's left them broken, it's left them destitute and hopeless, I pray, Lord, that you would open their eyes and their heart, that you would reach out and touch them right now. If there's anybody here this morning who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, has not been touched, has not believed that Jesus can heal you of your sins and all your past unrighteousnesses. And listen, it's not whether or not it's what he has done. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're not good enough or he doesn't want you. He does. If there's anybody here that wants to pray for that before we go to the communion table, why don't you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. Anybody that the Lord is moving upon your heart right now. And praise God, Lord, as the ushers hand out these elements, search our heart. We open our heart, we bow our knee, we put our face to the ground before you, and we ask, Lord, show us if there's anything that is separating us from fellowship and communion with you, that we might be cleansed. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the truth that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Do that work by the power of your Holy Spirit right now, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Thank you.
forsake me in my weakness, and I know that you have come now. Even if to write upon my heart, you remind me who
in Luke, it said, and when the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, take this, divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then it says, he took bread, he gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And you know, in light of what we had just seen, the idea that It was his delight to cleanse that leper. It was his delight to cleanse you and me, to go to the cross and offer his body as a sacrifice, beaten and battered. And he said, he's asked us, he said, what I want you to do is when you come together, I want you to take a piece of bread and I want you to hold it. I want you to consider what I did and do it in remembrance of me. And I think our heart and our response should be, I'd be delighted to do that. Should be our delight this morning as we consider what Jesus did. And so as we hold this cracker, we do this in obedience, but my goodness, it shouldn't be right by right or rote or ritual. It should be because he's touched us. And if he's touched you, then there's a meaning to what we're going to do as we eat. We do this in remembrance of him. Let's remember him. You know, we came to the Lord. It says, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. We all came to the Lord with hearts full of leprosy. It was scaly and cracked and about as grotesque as you can think. But he said, this blood is the blood of my new covenant. Though your sins are as scarlet, I make them white as snow. And for those who have come and sought that cleansing, believe that he could do it, have received that free gift of grace, believed upon it and received it, it's says this, he declares you clean because of the blood that he shed, and this cup is the reminder and our remembrance that which he has called clean is clean indeed. Isn't that something? We always, I don't know what it is about me, I sell what he's done for me short sometimes and think that one he may have a hard time dealing with. And he had no problem with a leper that nobody else would touch, reaching out his hand and cleansing him, just as he has you and me. That is remarkable, isn't it? So as we drink, let's do this in remembrance of him. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done. And help us not to make it difficult, but to simply say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Lord, that we can stand before you today and declare this truth, that we are clean. And we thank you, Jesus. And now may the fruit of our lips, the meditation of our heart, the praise that we offer up be well-pleasing to you as we go out. Lord, I pray that you just continue to wash our minds and our hearts with this, with the water of your word, with the truth, Lord, that was shared and by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, we know that there are people that need to feel that touch. Use us this week for your glory to touch others, Lord, who need to know about your love and your grace and your mercy. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.